From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns reaches the final message in an extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. Verse 29 of chapter 24 is the very brief obituary of the man who had succeeded Moses as the leader of Israel. Faithfully carrying out the Lord's instructions, Joshua had led the nation into the Promised Land, had commanded the army of Israel in their victorious campaign of conquest, and had seen to the division of the land among the 12 tribes. Now, at the age of 110 years, he passed into eternity. In the course of this farewell to Joshua, Dr. Cairns will draw lessons from Joshua's life and career that foreshadow the ministry of our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message called A Sermon About Us and Our Savior. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Christ has grace without measure in himself, but he has not retained it for himself. As the reservoir empties itself into the pipes, so has Christ emptied out his grace for his people. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. He seems only to have in order to dispense to us. He stands like the fountain, always flowing, but only running in order to supply the empty pitchers and the thirsty lips which draw nigh unto it. Like a tree, he bears sweet fruit, not to hang on boughs, but to be gathered by those who need. Grace, whether its work be to pardon, to cleanse, to preserve, to strengthen, to enlighten, to quicken, or to restore, is ever to be had from him freely and without price. Nor is there one form of the work of grace which he has not bestowed upon his people. As the blood of the body, though flowing from the heart, belongs equally to every member, so the influences of grace are the inheritance of every saint united to the Lamb. And herein there is a sweet communion between Christ and his church, inasmuch as they both receive the same grace. Christ is the head upon which the oil is first poured, but the same oil runs to the very skirts of the garments, so that the meanest saint has an unction of the same costly moisture as that which fell upon the head. This is true communion, when the sap of grace flows from the stem to the branch, and when it is perceived that the stem itself is sustained by the very nourishment which feeds the branch. As we day by day receive grace from Jesus, and more constantly recognize it as coming from him, we shall behold him in communion with us, and enjoy the felicity of communion with him. Let us make daily use of our riches, and ever repair to him as to our own Lord in covenant, taking from him the supply of all we need, with as much boldness as men take money from their own purse. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
We're going to read in the 24th chapter of Joshua. This is the final one in the series of the studies in Joshua. I've told you many times I thought we'd be looking at a few verses in chapter 1. We'd have maybe 2, 3, or 4 studies. Well, we have a 2, 3, or 4. In fact, this will be number 64. Chapter 24, verse 29. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Today, particularly, we will look at verse 29 and the first part of verse 30. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah. Today, we come to stand, as it were, among the children of Israel as they say farewell to Joshua. With them, we stand around his corpse and we remember with gratitude his labors. It is, I think, perhaps a little instructive, perhaps prophetic, of the way things would go in Israel, that we read of no public mourning for Joshua. There were days and weeks of mourning for Moses. There were days and weeks of mourning for Aaron. But we read of no such thing for Joshua. I realize that's a far cry from saying there was no public mourning. I would sincerely doubt that there could be no public mourning at all. But I think the omission of it from the sacred record is probably indicative of the way things would soon go, because as soon as ever possible, the coming generation would forget what Joshua had stood for, what he had taught them, the way he had led them, and they would seek to go their own way into idolatry and into folly. But notwithstanding that, I think that as we read this passage of Scripture, we could say that we stand among people who had to have a sense of gratitude to God and to His servant for the many labors that He had executed among them for many years. With these children of Israel, then, we focus our thoughts on the solemn truths which Joshua's death sets before us. And today I think we can learn some very important lessons, biblical lessons, gospel lessons, for life, for death, and for eternity. As I pondered the closing section of Joshua, there were many lines of thought. To be quite honest, we could spend many weeks in these final few verses. But I thought we would finish the series on a very, very simple and a very striking fashion. I want us to think of the death of Joshua as a parting sermon to us about us and about our Redeemer. Joshua's death a parting sermon to us about us and about our Redeemer. And I'll start with the Redeemer because as you have studied through the book of Joshua, I trust one thing has come out very clearly, and that is the great parallel between Joshua and the Lord Jesus. So I want us once more to note that Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died, and so reminds us of our greater Joshua, who also died. But thank God, who, unlike Joshua, lives glorified forever. Joshua's name and Joshua's work are very precious reminders of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name, let me remind you, is the Old Testament form of the New Testament name, Jesus. In fact, Joshua is actually referred to as Jesus in Hebrews chapter 4. The names are absolutely the same. And it is not merely a coincidence that this Joshua bears the name of our coming Savior. That was by divine design. So that when we would read of this man and his name, his person, and his work, our thoughts would transcend the history, and they would settle upon the great spiritual realities pictured in that history, and we would see our greater Joshua and contemplate him whose name is Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. This Joshua in the Old Testament is known preeminently as the servant of the Lord. What a title to have from God. What a title with which to live. What a title with which to die. The servant of the Lord. That is a title, I think, that was very fitting for Joshua. We read of him as a young man, as Moses' minister, and how he stayed in the tabernacle, how it was his delight to be in the presence of the Lord. And when we think of all those things, we can see an immediate parallel with the greater Joshua, who is the true servant of Jehovah. When you think of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can describe it in many ways. But all those descriptions funnel down into this one great title that Isaiah gives to the Lord Jesus. He is, in a preeminent manner, the servant of Jehovah. And just like the Joshua in the Old Testament, as he comes as the servant of God, first and foremost, he steps onto this scene of time as the minister or the servant of Moses. Moses is, of course, the great lawgiver. Moses, indeed, is used to denote the law itself. So that the law and Moses, in various places in Scripture, are synonymous terms. When we read of the Old Testament Joshua as Moses' minister or Moses' servant, we are prepared to see in the New Testament Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect servant of the Lord and the perfect minister or servant of Moses. What do we read concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Now follow me carefully. In that statement we have the deity of Christ. He's God's Son. We have the humanity of Christ. He is made of a woman. That is God's description, and a very finely wrought theological description it is, of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very tempted to take time once again to give you a little disquisition on Galatians 4 verse 4 and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Forget all those notions that you hear that Jesus Christ was somehow carried by Mary, but his humanity was a direct creation out of nothing by the Holy Ghost. That is not true. And if it were true, he would not be our Savior and could not be our Savior. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of the Virgin Mary so that of her substance the entire humanity of Jesus Christ was made. He was made of a woman. He was not merely carried by a woman. He was made of a woman. There is the glorious miracle of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. His deity, his humanity and his virgin birth. But notice this, he was made under the law. He was the servant of Moses. He was the satisfier of the law. We spent some time, a couple of Sabbath evenings ago, thinking of Christ, the end of the law. Christ, the fulfiller of the law. Christ, the satisfier of the law. He who fulfilled all righteousness, as the Old Testament Joshua was the servant of the Lord, so is our Lord Jesus Christ. And in serving the Lord, he fulfilled the law in its letter, in its precept, and thank God he satisfied it in the penalty that it demanded, because he, as Joshua, went through Jordan. It was only because he went through Jordan, the Jordan of death, that he could take his people through and into the land of God's provided salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.